The audio.
There we
Thank
go.
you, sir. So we are now online and unmuted and recording, and you guys were in here listening to us already. So I'm going to call our public hearing to order tonight at 7:21, and the public hearing is the first of two. We'll have another next week on Tuesday to review the initial proposals for a joint, budget for the town of Bolton, Connecticut for the upcoming fiscal year. And this is a combined budget for Board of Selectmen and for the Board of Education. And I will start in with just the fact that, let me start sharing. And I'm going to go a little bit off script. I was going to read all of the introduction to this to you folks, but who here in the room has read the budget already? Okay, so I presume you know a big picture of what's going on, but I'm still going to go through some of this, set the stage, read through the budget, and then I'm going to open the floor to questions. And there's some give and take in this where if you have questions or comments, you can ask them. And we have members from the Board of Selectmen here who can reply. And I don't want, please try at the beginning, limit your comments to 2 or 3 minutes so that we have a lot of people here. And I know some of you have been here. Some of you like to talk more than others, myself included. So I just want to make sure we have a chance for everybody here to share.
You want a timer?
Right.
If you got a timer,
We can make one.
you're going to have one made.
Just unplug the computer accidentally.
No, it's the HDMI cable. It's finicky.
Sit back.
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
That should not have affected the owl.
Nope, it won't
Hopefully.
affect the owl and sharing. So I'm going to start by sharing our Zoom. Well, but Stephanie, you don't have to drive. You just get to answer
You
questions.
like 2 minutes or 3 minutes, Ross?
Let's do two. Start out with two. And there's time to, if you know, we have time because this is all about you guys getting your input. And right afterwards, then, we get your input. We're going to have our own special meeting tonight, discuss what you said, see if there's any adjustments we can make to the budget. And get you back again next week and other people who couldn't be here. So let me start with sharing our presentation. So yes, I'm going to share that. I'm going to move that off to the side. So first of all, let me just introduce our members of the Finance Committee who are here tonight. It's myself, Ross Lally is the chair. I'd like the rest of you folks introduce yourself.
Danae Johnston,
Your Board of Ed.
Board of Ed.
David Coles, Board of Selectmen.
Melissa Whelan.
It's a member at large as I am.
Tyler Egner, Finance Committee, member at large.
Rod Forney, First Selectman.
Ben Davies, I'm the Board of Ed representative.
And then also present, we have Jim Rupert, who is our town administrator. We have David Caruso, who is our superintendent of schools. And we also have friends, a new face for you to get to know. This is Stephanie Smagala, and she is our interim finance director. Our current CFO, chief financial officer, has put in her resignation, and May 1st is her last day. So expect to see Stephanie as being the face of our finance department and the face of our budget planning, until, she's either, we figure out, next steps with that particular role. Selectmen have yet to act on, a final, person to fill the role of CFO, but Stephanie is, here to help in the meanwhile. So to get to our budget, I'll just tell you that I moved to Bolton 17 years ago. I came here first for church. I go to Bolton Congregational Church. I came here because of that and grew to love the community through my connections with the church. And when it came time for me to buy a house, I looked around in Bolton and fell in love with my little Cape Cod on Notch Road. And I'll tell you what the value proposition of the town is for me. It's also in here in our budget, and it's what the schools and the Board of Selectmen are providing. And I love the fact that my roads are plowed when we have a storm. They're cleared after a windstorm. I love the fact that the roads are paved. We have parks. We have recreational facilities.
Okay.
We have a senior center. We have a school. These are all reasons that people come to Bolton and come to stay, and they bring their children. And the challenges that we face as a town are that we don't have a large business tax base. And so that means that we are really dependent on the individual taxpayers for, you know, their contributions to bringing what, you know, helping realize that value proposition that Bolton has to offer residents. And each of you has a different idea of why you came here, why you stay, what you like, what you don't like. And I will start off with the taxes here can be high. And that's, again, you know, a trade-off, because if we don't have business and you don't want business, then the taxes stay high. And on the other hand, if you do want business and want to lower the taxes, then you wind up, if you're not careful, with changing the character of the town. So this is all a balancing act. And I think we need to have more of a collective conversation on what does that look like and what does Bolton need to be when it grows up. And that is a question that needs to be worked out with the citizens of our town and the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Ed. And to let you folks know what the general structure of the town is, we basically have two separate budgets, one part of which is managed by the Board of Selectmen, and another part that's managed by the Board of Education. And to help you understand how it works together, the Board of Selectmen, if you read the charter, are effectively the Board of Directors for the town, and the charter says that the CFO, CEO, Chief Executive Officer of the town, is the first selectman. They, in turn, they set the long-term planning for the town and the goals. And the town includes, you know, the Board of Ed when I'm talking at this high level, with what do we want to be as we grow up? And then the Board of Selectmen go and appoint the town administrator to manage the day-to-day operations of the Board of Selectmen side of the budget, and they collectively coordinate with the superintendent of schools to bring this all together. And so this is kind of the background for it. And so to let you know that if you're talking about why are we going in a certain direction and why are we doing it, you need to ask the Board of Selectmen or the Board of Education and the superintendent of schools. Finance Committee as fiduciary responsibility, it means we are responsible to make sure that the monies that we have in the town are managed well. We get good returns on our investments, but we don't have really a lot of control directly over what the Board of Ed do and the Board of Selectmen. Our control comes through if we have to cut budgets and they cannot make the cuts themselves, then the Board of Finance has to decide, you know, where the cuts come from. Everybody, you know, with me on that so far, I'm just trying to give you the context of who you need to talk to. And with some of these long-term ones, the conversation needed to have been a while ago. Because right now you're at the point where the budgets have pretty well been defined, and it gets a little bit more traumatic when we have to make substantive adjustments at this late point. And I'm not saying that we can't or won't. I'm just explaining, you know, the process. So before I go into the details, last year we started out with, as you're all aware, 5% overall increase in spending that came with an 13% tax increase. We whittled that down to about 1.5%. I'm going to talk in round numbers, so don't hold me to the fraction of a percent, and to about a 5% increase in taxes. So this year, I mean, we were explained to us that this was a one-time thing, that it was due to the change in the revals impact and the fact that we have two different caps. We have a cap on motor vehicles. And when our real estate taxes were high, the state used to reimburse us the difference between the real estate and the motor vehicles. That was around, you know, $750,000 to $1 million a year. And that this was a one-time thing and would not happen again. And we found out at the last minute that, you know, we were made aware of this issue last year at the last minute. So on April 9th, I was working with our finance department to put the budget together. And at that point, the combined budget, because we already had the selectman's budget and the superintendent's budget. And at that time, I was notified that we had another hole in the budget. So this year, if you've read the documents, you see that there's an increase combined of about 4% in change that goes with about a 10% increase in taxes. So it's a repeat of last year. And to be honest with you, I felt like a fool last year. And I feel like an idiot this year because the same thing happened again. And I got told at the last minute, 2 hours before we had to present it. And I had to go and let Superintendent Caruso now at the last minute, Rodney Fournier, Jim Rupert, and the members of the Finance Committee literally before we went live with the public to explain it. So there's no conspiracies. This is what happened. And I want you to all be aware of this. This is what happened. I'm not going to talk about why it shouldn't have happened or put blame on it. I will let you ask the questions and understand to your own satisfaction how and why it happened. I just want to talk about where we are tonight and what we can get out of, you know, how do we get out of this and what does it look like going forward? So again, going back up to 30,000 feet, we're starting out with, we spent all of our surplus that we had left. Last year, we had almost 3.5 million in surplus. We used 2.5 million of it plus cuts to get you down to that 1% budget increase with 5% tax increase. We had 1 million left of that surplus this year. We applied it to reduce the budget increase this year. That put us at 10%. We have no more money right now to reduce things further unless the selectmen and the Board of Ed find some monies to give up because they find at the end of the year they've managed their monies well. We get lucky that, you know, special education student left, something happens. We get a retirement on the side of the selectmen that frees up some money. And we'll know more of that as you get closer to the end of the year. So I know some of you folks think it's a game, but we don't know how much that money is until the closer we get to the end of the year, because you're more of the things have happened that you know will happen, and then you know better what money is left after them, the closer you get to the end of the year. So I'm telling you what the picture looks like now. It doesn't mean that it will not change as we learn more, but we're at the point where there is no additional major source of revenue, and it's not going to get better next year because we use that surplus this year. And I have not been told by anybody that we're going to get some revenue that will fill this gap that we have. And we have some major expenses coming up next year, like wanting to do a bonding to repair the roof on Bolton Center School. It actually has two different roofs. We don't want to let that go, because if you don't fix that, you wind up with the mess that we had at Bolton Center School. So this is where, not Bolton Center, the old Bolton School, Notch Road, the old school there. I know lots of you guys went to, but I missed that experience. But I just want to let you know, this is what the whole big picture is. And tonight I can step you through the budget. We'll go through it. You'll see that, you know, what the selectmen are proposing to spend, what, you know, the Board of Education are proposing to spend, you know, talk about where we can possibly make some cuts. There's possibly some room in capital, but I'm going to explain to you, when you cut that, you shove things down the road further, and they don't get cheaper if you get rid, defer maintenance on things. And the fact that we also spent our surplus means we don't have money to go after more grants when they come in, because these grants typically require us to pay something like 20% up front, and then you have to spend the remaining 80, and you get reimbursed for that remaining 80% as you go along. So we don't have that money now, because we just used it to cut the gap between the spending and the tax increase to 10%. So we can try to cut our way out of this, but if you try to cut our way out of it, you wind up getting rid of the things that bring people into town. And if we choose to go down that road, you have to understand that people come here for the schools. They come here for the other services that the Board of Selectmen provide. And you start getting rid of those, then, you know, you start being attractive for other people to move in. By the same token, you know, taxes then will go up if you don't have the tax base for it. And I'm not saying don't do it. I just want to have this discussion. I want you to be aware that there's consequences for what you ask for, and some of them may not be what you expect. I'm not saying, again, don't do this. I'm just, this is my opinion too. If you disagree, I'm here. Challenge me, challenge the Board of Selectmen, challenge the Board of Ed, because we're here to, you know, work with you on this. And don't take us at face value. Trust but verify. So if you don't believe what I'm saying, I tell these folks the same thing, check. And if I'm wrong, let me know. And I think it's the same attitude you will find here, that we just need to collaborate on this. And if we do make some drastic changes, I want you to all to understand what the consequences are, so that if something happens that we talked about and you don't like it, it's, well, we talked about it and we agreed to it. So, you know, at a certain point, own up to it. And I'm much happier with having those kinds of conversations than we don't talk about it. And then you're really surprised, because then you'll feel like I did when I found out at the last minute that we were in the same mess, you know, that we were in last year. So with that said, I'm going to step us through the budget. And at a high level, we have total capital improvements of $764,448 proposed. We have total debt service, which means on all of our existing bonds that we're paying people for, is $1,421,514. And that's another thing to keep in mind, too. If we mess up with our budget, we also drop our bond rating. And if we need to borrow money in the future, yeah, you save some money now, but guess what? You dropped our bond rating from an A something or other to a B, then we have to pay more money to the creditors in order to get them to buy our bonds, because they're more risky. So again, this is all part of, you know, the balancing act. Then we have a relatively small contingency fund, which is $50,000. It really will not cover any major issue that comes up. That's barely a part-time employee's salary. It will not help. You need to fix, say, you know, we get a collapse of drainage in a road like we've had happen, or whatever like that. It's very small. And then, so the total budget for the town proper, which is the, you know, the Board of Selectmen's budget plus the Board of Selectmen's budget basically is $7,585,519. And then you have the total Board of Education's budget, which is $17,613,666. And then the Finance Committee put in a reduction, which is equal to a give back from the Board of Selectmen that they made at our last meeting of $30,000. So that brings us to a budget, total budget between Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen, $27,405,147. And if you want to compare year over year, you can see that it's not really much. The overall increase, you know, is about 4.8% for total expenditures. So you look at that part, It's in line with inflation. It's less than a number of other towns, but unfortunately that comes with the baggage of a larger tax increase because we're short on the revenue side, which has perennially been Bolton's issue. We're really not extravagant on the spending side. It's more the lack of revenue side. And this just shows the general pie chart of Board of Ed is the largest chunk of this. And then you go with the rest of it is capital improvements and debt service and, the Board of Selectmen. And if you guys cannot hear, don't get anything, just let me know as we go along. I want to make sure if you have clarifying questions while I'm speaking, please ask. And then you can save the meatier ones for when, we get to your part of a comment. So for capital budget, we are required by our charter to put in the equivalent of 1 mil of our grand list.
At least one mil.
It's the floor for it. We can put in more, but we can't go below a certain amount. So at about now, we figured at the last meeting, the most you could cut from this proposed capital budget is about $225,000.
No.
No.
It was 140.
It was 140. I thought we said 225.
That's where we started because we had the other number.
Okay. So it's 140?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. As I said, I'd like to be corrected here. So then there's not much to cut out of here. So this most of it is going to, actually a good part of it is going to maintaining the schools and planning ahead for various work that we have to do, like HVAC maintenance. They have to do an HVAC, which is heating, ventilation, and air condition assessment every, was it 5 years? And so we're trying to put aside money each year instead of one large hit for it. So the school actually has, that's their chunk of it. And then there's the Board of Selectmen's chunk, which is more on things like the town hall needs to be painted. Same thing with the state trooper's office over there. We have various other maintenance, vehicles that we tried to extend their lifetime of last time to help reduce the budget. Some of those have fallen apart since then. So you take a look at it, you ask us the questions in case we've missed anything when we go through those parts of the budget. Debt service, there's really no way to get out of this. You can't default on the bonds. We're stuck with paying off the bonds that we have. You default on a bond, you really mess with our future, with our ability to borrow money at a reasonable rate in the future. So keep that in mind when we start talking to you about, we want to take out bonding on roof repairs for Bolton Center School. Yes, it's necessary, but what is that going to do to your pocketbook so that if you do agree with it, you're not surprised by, what happens. And if you don't agree, let us know. And then hopefully you're not going to be surprised if there's the roof issues get worse and the price of it goes up. So I'm just telling you, that's what typically happens with deferred maintenance. Things get worse. They don't get better when you don't take care of them. And then here's the Board of Selectmen's budget, and you'll find us with the school, the largest driver is payroll for things. Their increases, some of them are contractually driven. For example, with insurance, we're at the mercy of what we can get for insurance. We're using a state-sponsored plan, which is about the cheapest that we could find. It's shared between the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen, which further reduces its cost. And let's see what else we got. Board of Education, their budget is $17,613,666, 4.84% increase. And the majority of that, was it, David, was it 4.21% you said?
Yes.
Was contractual increases. So their increase over what is required by the contracts for insurance and for their staff is really about 0.25%. The rest of, of voluntary additions, this is mandatory. So here's how we get money. And as I've told you folks in the past, The last place we look at is the taxpayer. We go out, we look at what do we get from grants? What do we get from fees that we charge? What do we get from, you know, the surplus that we had from last year? So we look at all of that first. We get, you know, tuition reimbursements from, you know, from Columbia. And there's various, you know, again, grants. So we look at all of that first. And then the last thing we, you know, and is the budget reasonable from a spending point of view? And then we look at filling that gap with, you know, tax revenue. And again, this shows that the majority of our revenue comes from taxes and fees. It's about 80% of our budget. And because we do not have we do not have high value, low service required businesses in town in large numbers, that means that the bulk of the monies wind up coming from individual taxpayers. Excuse me?
No.
Hmm?
In waiting. No, the only person in the waiting room is Bruce Fixon.
It's just Bruce.
Oh.
I suppose I should let him in.
Yeah.
But let Bruce in.
You can't see it from over here.
Nah. Thank you for letting me know, because I'm trying to keep it off the screen so people can see up there, but then I don't see people waiting to get in or any questions. So anybody who wants to let me know that somebody else is out there waiting, please let me know.
That's why I put it to the side so you can kind of see it.
Yep. So then again, this shows what we did with the budget, you know, with our surplus last year. We started with 2.5 million that we used to cut our expenditures down to about 5%, in addition with the tax increase to about 5% last year by using the 2.5 million of the surplus. And then the rest came pretty much out of cuts. And so that left us with just about a million. And then this gets down to the mill rate and what we had last year versus this year. So this year's real estate and personal property mill rate currently would be about 35.46 mil. So that's approximately 9.78% increase over last year. So if you want to do a simple calculation, it's because our mill rates are the same for all the different types of property. Just add up your tax bills from last year and multiply them by 9.78% or 10% if you want to round up. That will help you understand. It's the easiest way for you guys to do it, because we got feedback from you. Why don't you do it this way? It's easier than doing these mill rate calculations and having people try to guess, because my house isn't worth this much, but this one's more than mine. How do I figure out what mine is? So just take your combined tax bill from last year, multiply it by 10% roughly, and you'll be in the ballpark. And that assumes that, gee, you didn't get rid of that car and don't have it anymore, and you didn't make any improvements to your house, so your house's value or personal property didn't change. This all assumes things stayed about the same for you from last year to this. And that is it, because the rest of it is all like the referenda that we did. And it's all of the details that we are required by our town charter to put in here that you can read on your own. It's very detailed, but I wanted to just put this stuff up front, because that's something else that we heard, was to try to simplify the presentation and get this, you know, get what's in it for you up front. Because you're basically interested in how much is this going to affect my taxes and what am I getting for it? And so we wanted to try to respect that wish. But the same token, there's stuff that we are required to put in here. So that's all at the end for those folks who want to dig into it and make sure that we're conforming with the town charter. So that is it for me. I will ask if the selectman or town administrator, superintendent of schools have anything to add, and then I will open the floor to questions and observations.
I think you did a great job presenting, Rose. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Dave? I have 7 minutes, and thank you very much, Stephanie, for putting this all together. I know we have a bunch of meetings and try to put the information in a clear, concise way. It made it simple to understand for everybody.
And I will second that. I've worked with Stephanie very closely the last 2 months. She we just talk about she gets it, puts it into that shape. She's very good at taking this, the really complicated stuff that's really hard to understand, putting it, make it simple and put it in some charts. And any feedback that you have to make this better, again, please let us know tonight as well too. So hearing none, I will open the floor to questions to the superintendent of schools and to the first selectman and town administrator. And as I said, keep your comments to about 2 minutes, and Ms. Selectman Coles is going to time you. Okay, Mr. Mora.
Thank you. Bob Mora, 15, Thinker Pond Road. My comments are going to be very limited to actually the revenue and specifically what's going on at the state legislature regarding revenue towards education. As you may or may not know, they are talking about a significant amount that they actually owe us. If the state had kept their promise today, we should be getting $1.7 million more towards our education, which we are not.
Is that per year, or is that just flat out?
That in addition.
Okay.
That's in addition to where we are now. If you simply take where they stopped increasing it and brought up today, just simply figuring out the rise of increase in living. But the key is, it's there. They have the funds. They have the surplus. They've discussed it in the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. Yet no one has put this forward. And virtually every community in the state of Connecticut, every city, has gone up there and told them that they are in a similar situation that we are here. And yet they sit on their asses and not doing anything. I stand here tonight only to say that it is up to us, the people who voted them in, even if you didn't vote them in, to get a hold of your senator, get a hold of your House rep and the governor's office to make the move, because we are in trouble like every other town. And one way they should do their part, the right thing, is fund us properly. That would probably mean an additional 1.1, 1.2 million.
And it's important to reach out to the governor as well, because the governor typically holds this hostage until the last minute as a deal-making tool. So it's very important to not only reach out to your representative or senator, state senator, but also to the governor's office and acknowledge to the governor that, you know, that this is the game that they play, because they try to make deals to get other things and hold this to the end of the session.
And this is
Ross. Would you mind paraphrasing what phrasing would be best to convey that to the lawmakers?
I don't really know.
Okay.
I got
like specifically education funds.
It's ECS.
It's ECS.
ECS.
Yeah. I can't go on.
They're holding the costs are from 2013 or 2013. So there's been no inflationary cost to these grants that they give us. So that's a big number, and we've been eating it for 12 years now.
Yep. Yeah. So, like he said,
that was almost perfect. Not.
Next question. And if you could identify yourself, your name, and your street. Yes, you, sir.
Thanks. Chris Duffy, Stonehenge Lane. Thanks, Mr. Moore, because I had a little point of that.
Mary, can you hear him okay?
I think there's three things. There's there was a communication problem with us that gets people frustrated during this budget season time. There's clearly a revenue problem, which was just talked about, but also with the car taxes, you know, thing. And then there's expenses, which I don't think we really have an expense problem. So I'll stay here. Thank you very much for the great communication. And I want to make that point kind of a positive. It's improved over the last year for sure. I think the feedback, that we heard at many of the coffee and conversations was great, you know, listening to all the concerns of everybody ahead of time and trying to bake those in specifically. I also found the school budget information to be very clear and informative in terms of the approach to distribution needed for 2027, how it was explained. Also greatly appreciated that's the most significant portion of our budget, right? So understanding it. Thanks, Superintendent Caruso, for working on that and your team. I think we all want a good return on investment for our tax dollars, but sometimes we don't really know what's being delivered. You know, this year, the school budget proposal information provided me with that. Compared to surrounding towns, for cost per pupil is in the middle of the range, yet we're performing. Bolton is performing. So you think about that and where most of our money is going here. Bolton scored higher than the surrounding schools in the Next Generation Accountability Index. The only one above the Connecticut average at 85. On top of that, second year school of distinction, moved to the rank of 26 out of the top 50 schools in the state. Record number AP test participation and scores last year, above three for college credits. I can go on and on, and you know I'd love to, right? I'm not even on the board anymore. So the return on investment in Bolton, that's the important thing. It's our biggest asset is our schools.
You got time.
All right, maybe if I get another minute later, I'll finish this.
All right, Chris.
Okay, yes.
I'm going to give you hopefully a simple one. Rebecca Gent, I live on Meadow, and I do want to echo these slides. Good.
I'm going to ask folks if you speak, if you could come up here just so we can hear you, because I want to make sure that our secretary, our clerk, can hear you clearly, because I'm seeing faces from her.
Rebecca Gent, Meadow Road. These slides are fantastic. I love all of the details. Really great. I'm going to start with a simple question for you. In the line item capital budget, there's two line items for Lyman Bridge.
Yep.
One for $140,000, one for $170,000. So we're doubling the expenses next year. Was that intentional? And what's the difference between the two?
It's split, right? One's a grant match and the other's infrastructure and engineering.
Correct.
So they're accounted for different places. So one of the two is doubled. Is it the 1.4 is matched by the grant?
Yes.
And then the 1.7 is the fees from that the town is going to take on regardless of the grant.
So we're taking on almost twice.
We take 20% plus the engineering. And it's a $1.7 million project, I think it is. So we need 340 plus the engineering fees, which was another 140, I think it was.
But then, Rodney, if you're saying we're taking on 20% and plus the engineering fees, so we need to put the money up front, and then we're going to get some of that back.
We've already put a lot of it up front, haven't we?
Well, the initial design, but the final design has to yet be done, and it's not just the final design; it's the final design and inspection fees during construction. So there's a lot of inspections that have to take place during construction. And I'm actually working on preparing a bid document to go out to bid. We have an estimate in there for that portion. And it's split over 2 years.
Well, we're involved. We should say grant match.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, so...
You look like you're still not sure.
So... One of those two you're saying is actually returned to us after we spend it up front?
No.
Okay, so the match is not.
So we have the 20% is our cost of the project.
So the total cost is what?
For next year.
Altogether, the cost of this.
It's 20% of the 1.7, and I think it was like $380,000 over the course of 2 years for the engineering and inspection fee.
So that's what we have to put up that Correct. We don't get reimbursed for.
Correct.
Okay.
That do it?
So that's all, none of that is the money coming back to us.
Right. And then we have to put up additional money to do the work and then get reimbursed.
The 80% of the $1.7 million as the project is going on, we will spend out of town dollars and then submit for reimbursement. If we do our jobs well, we should get reimbursement in about 60 days.
So you make progress requests. When you use your money, put in a progress request and hope they return it in time for the next phase to the contractors.
A stupid question. Why two line items instead of one?
One? Simply because I think when we created the capital budget, we wanted to identify them separately so that people didn't think it was just one big lump sum, because one piece of it is actually a match and one piece of it is the design and inspection costs.
So I think that 141 should have said Lyman Road permitting and inspections and engineering versus the 20% match.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you. That helps.
All right. Next.
Amanda's back.
Amanda?
Amanda Borden, 23 Gulf Road. I'm just going to add one, get through the crowd. So I just have questions. So I'm going to rattle them off and them if I need to, but I'm going to get them in under 2 minutes. So I wanted to know if there was any, and I apologize, I did not have time to listen to the recordings the way I normally would. You know, it's been rough with the with the new board. So fire truck, was there any discussion on restructuring how we do that and no longer doing a short-term loan and obtaining all those fees that we get every year? I have a question on the finance budget of now that we know that Jill is retiring. Congratulations, Jill. Can we remove the $91,902 that's in there for Stephanie since that's a second position and get that back in the budget? The health insurance was projected at a 15% rate. Is that actual or projected, and have the Board of Ed numbers come in for actuals yet? I see that the Department of Education or the on the ed budget, transportation went up 18.61%. And I'm just wondering what that's from. Is it just the cost of gas and our contract, and why are they increasing it so much? And the reval total cost on the capital budget is at 105, and I thought we were projecting every year 13,000 for a total of 5 times 13, so I'm wondering why that jumped up to 105. It also looks like the modular office, cost of the modular office went down for next year, which is interesting, so I'm wondering why that is. And I'm sure if I listened to the recordings, I would find these answers. The other comment that I have is I don't think on the slide that tells people how to calculate their percent increase, I don't think the motor vehicle should be included in the total because that is flat funded, so that should not be included in the total that they apply the 10 point whatever percent to.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Did I make it?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Please, do you want 18 seconds?
Yeah, you need 3 today.
We're going to increase the time to 3 minutes.
Number one was the fire truck, and if we discussed doing something besides the short term.
So we are actually paying, our plan is to actually pay down some capital in this year and to include the final payment for the fire truck in the bond that we're looking to do for the school. So that would end the short-term loan process, and we would actually be paying down, I think, $30,000 or $35,000 this year as we refinance.
The second question was about the finance budget, and can we get rid of that redundant position now?
We'll know better next week, but probably at least some of that, yes.
Okay. Join the Board of Selectmen next Tuesday.
Wait. You have the same day?
Yeah, again.
Yep. Long days.
The next one was the health insurance increase rate. Is that an actual, and where do we stand in terms of?
I believe both budgets have been adjusted for the actual.
Yes, our budget, the money came in lower than we budgeted for. Our combined increase was about 11.7, which was under. We did have some life changes happen with personnel, some people jumping from single to double family. So our savings was $54,767, which lowered our initial ask from 5.17 to 4.84.
And we were able, the Board of Selectmen were able to incorporate that change during their initial budget presentation.
Next question was education and transportation and why that almost 20% increase there.
So our transportation contract ran out, and we were negotiating. We put out the bid. Two companies bid. The bids came in really high. And so the Board of Education awarded the bid to First Student a few weeks back. We've been in contact with our attorney and their attorney. We put together some language, sent it to them. Their attorney just sent it back to us, and we just received it today. So I'm hoping to finalize negotiations in the next couple of weeks. And cautiously optimistic that we come in a little under budget, but we'll see.
How long the contract?
5 years.
Oh, okay. So I have it for 5 years, but I know everything's going.
It's not. It doesn't increase that much every year.
Okay. The next question was it looks like the cost of the reval is going up. We budget for it every single year. 13,000 a year, but it says the total budget is 105. So 5 times 13 is not 105. So I'm wondering.
It's 65.
Huh?
It's 65.
Oh, on the capital, there's it's
no like, 5 times 13 is 65.
Right. So it says what the annual amount is, and then it's like the total cost of the
budget.
I don't about being that expensive.
Basically making down payments on the reval coming upcoming reval instead of all at once. So I guess the question is, what is the actual amount?
So it's 13,000 times five years, right?
That's what I thought, but
that's what I thought too. So do we have a mistake in the budget? That's all it comes down to.
Is it on one of the slides or
yeah, it doesn't have it all.
Can you just tell us slide number?
Might be slide 20.
Let's try slide 20.
It's slide number 16.
That's not it.
Yeah, bottom of page, slide 16.
It is slide 16.
Oh, no. I'm looking at the one you texted me last week.
Oh, that's a different one. That's the selectman's budget with the details of their budget. I can get that.
Well, that's fine. I mean, at a later date, just wanted to make sure.
We'll discuss it.
We're putting enough money to pay for what it is. That's fine.
Yeah, and not that's too much.
Modular office.
Modular office.
Yeah, why is there a decrease? I mean, that's exciting, but is that true?
Don't know that. Are we not paying?
I don't know, compared to last year's, I think the amount went down. I think it's
there was something that had to double up.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I don't remember why, but we'll double check the number. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, I had other slide specific questions that I can email you, Ross, and stuff.
And just on the assessor, I was able to pull up the file. It's actually 15.4 in 2030 and 2031, so it's increasing, not just a flat 13,000.
Slight increase.
Is there questions online?
Let me go.
You want to take more time since we're
up like there, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Just trying to build this all up a little bit there. So where I was going with it was the return on investment and the revenue generation. I had the same question on the fire truck too, so thank you for that. But what I'd like to see, you know, my question is while we have such great presentations this year and communication's been awesome, I'll say it again. What's the more long-term plan for revenue generation? Ross, you talked a little bit about like, well, we want to keep it our character, but yet we can't go out of business. We can't keep cutting.
Yeah.
There'll just be nothing left, right? There'll be no school. There'll be no nothing. Everyone will move out. That's the direction it will go. I look at the school budget. They cut a lot last year, didn't keep up with inflation. They're coming in just over inflation now. So not even making up for it. We have a good budget, even though it looks like a big number. I want to just see the five-year plan. What's the five-year plan or the 10-year plan of how we're going to generate revenue so that we don't have the tax burden? Because I can invest in that. I'm okay with it. But
you want to know
year
what
by
you
year.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a question for the selectman.
My take is we can't put out a 10% increase, which doesn't get us far. So which way do we have to go with that? I mean, the five-year plan is if we're cutting all this money, We're never going to get water up 44 to start bringing in business. So we got to try to keep the rate up, but 10 is going to be too high. We know that. We're just spinning our wheels, putting referendums out there at 8,000 a piece.
Six or five, and we reduce that. And so it's
we're
less.
Going to go nowhere.
But exactly. So is that the plan or one of the pieces of the plan?
We don't
water
have a plan.
Up 44, there's going to be return on investment for that. It's going to take us this number of years, and we want to fund it every year.
That was our plan 3 years ago, and we're still working on that. But last year, the contingency fund went away for that in the referendum or in the capital plan. So I think we have it in there this year, don't we?
We did put some, I think 200,000, if I'm going from memory.
Yeah.
We did put some money into that, you know, and we, the Board of Selectmen and, or First Selectmen, myself, the Director of Community Development, have been meeting with some developers that are interested in a couple parcels in particular on Route 44 for development. You know, they are residential in nature, and you know, we get mixed reviews from the public about, you know, how they feel about that. Some think it's wonderful because it would add tax revenue to the town, it would increase the number of students in our schools potentially, but it might also come at a higher cost with some services that we're already providing. Although typically, you know, we don't provide, you know, trash pickup for those kinds of circumstances, but it may come with an increase in demand for the fire department. It may come with an increase in demand for, for police services. You know, it may mean that the Board of Education has to, you know, add a teacher or two. And, you know, there are others that are in favor of it. So, you know, it's a balance, but, you know, we have been working with those who are interested to try to help them come up with plans that are both a positive revenue source for the town and would, not negatively impact the character.
And gas and sewer are there, and those are state roads. So we don't have to, we won't have to increase road traffic for the most part. They'll either go to Vernon, Yukon, but it's not like they're living across from the town hall beating up these roads. So,
I guess.
And the other thing is, as the state has passed this new housing law, 8003, I think it is, and we're going to be getting a report from CROG in the near future on what we are responsible for doing for affordable housing or whatever happens to come around. So it's going to start getting pushed on us, whether we like it or not.
Does that help our revenue?
Does it come with money?
Of course not. No. Well,
plenty of money at the state for bonding for affordable housing.
Right. And they may even.
For the developer,
right.
Does that help our revenue?
Well, no. At the end of the day, it builds buildings and, you know, places that people frequent. And so it does increase your tax revenue.
Well, good.
I will say that on that type of project, that I think it's like a 830-G, many towns are kind of going through this right now, where if a town doesn't have the 10% threshold of affordable housing, if a developer does want to go into town and start building affordable housing, because they haven't hit that 10% threshold, developers are able to get around zoning a lot quicker and to be able to get these projects approved and built. So that's you know, a trade-off of that type of project. It's kind of this market.
And there are a lot of people that have a lot of issues with that bill. There are some that think it's wonderful. I think the best thing about the bill is it may have infrastructure dollars tied to it. So we may be able to get essentially free money to help us, you know, bring the water line in if we can get an appropriate developer for those parcels and do it under the affordable housing. There may be money tied to it to help pay for the cost of the infrastructure that we as taxpayers don't have to pay back.
And CROG,
we don't have to pay back through your town taxes. You'd be paying it back through your state tax.
And CROG took this on amongst their 30 towns that are in our CROG system, and they're going to be able to divvy it up based on each town's requirements, whether you have the land or not. So we may not have to meet stricter needs. Maybe Mansfield will take the heat on some of it. So,
and we were actually able to get the cider mill property on Connecticut Site Finder, so that is out there for developers to see.
And 830G only comes into play if we fight them. If we work with them to get a type of property that we want that works, it's a lot better than fighting them the whole way.
Fighting who?
Fighting a developer.
The developer.
And as chair of the sewer department, since we get involved.
You identify yourself again, Mr. Moore.
Bob Moore, in the department, this time chair of the sewer authority. Just so you know, I mean, obviously the discussion here is affordable housing. The inquiries go beyond that. I mean, there's just as many inquiries for at-market housing for these properties. So I think everyone should be aware that everything's in play out there in the market, which hasn't happened in quite a long time. That being, whether it be a condominium or apartment, those things are there at market, not subsidized. Not to say that the two can't work together, because they do in most cases.
Next. Yes, sir.
Mark Freeman, Lux Way. Just a few points and a question. First of all, thanks so much for that budget. I mean, the first time in 31 years I could make one click and get to that, which was so easy to follow compared to digging in all the previous years. So thank you. The other thing I wanted to bring up was talk a little about contacting our state senators, our state rep, the governor. Other organizations I'm in actually send out pre-written letters with the email address or the postal address of the people we should contact. Is that something we could get on the town website? Because, yeah, I'd be willing to just do this on my own, but I don't think most people have the time to go digging for that kind of information. And I think in an election year particularly, I think it would be super valuable if we could get 250 or 300 residents to send in an email or a postal letter.
I think those names are all on our website.
I'm sure they are.
But I don't know if we could draft a letter.
CTA.ct.gov, find your legislator, put in your address, and it'll spit it all out for you.
Yeah, no, and like I said, I know it's easy to find.
I think he's asking for help drafting the letter.
Yeah.
Get the language that we need to
have. I don't think we, as the town, we draft those letters from a private. It has to be from a private.
What about the Democratic or Republican town committee?
Yes, they could do it.
Yeah.
So I would say reach out.
I mean, to me, there's no excuse for somebody in town now to not have this information. Yeah. I couldn't have said that before this year. So this is, to me, another step in that process of getting people involved. Yeah, the people that are here tonight are involved. Yeah. But it's a drop in the bucket compared to the number of voters we have here. So, you know, it's a common need that we all have. So why not make it easy for people to do it? Also, I don't know if anybody saw it. It was just on tonight's 6 o'clock federal news. The students at Maloney High and Meriden walked out over cost sharing grants. So they walked out at the high school today and had a demonstration. I thought that was really cool. I mean, imagine if our legislatures is hearing from our student body over this. So. Civic classroom.
Yeah.
And then I had one question. I'm not sure I understood what you were saying.
Which?
Earlier, Ross, about the surprise in this year's budget. You referred to what happened last year. I understand what that was. Yeah. And
the surprise was we had no projections that indicated this was coming.
What was coming? The
gap. The gap between, I knew that we had, you know, we had reduced our spending, you know, reduced, you know, our spending, our surplus, and that we only had $1 million left. I got no projections for where are we on a quarterly basis. I have asked our CFO for them. She's not comfortable doing
it. Ross, I beg to differ. Back in October at the 3 board meeting, you were given this information. I projected $618,000 surplus. That information was provided back in October.
The surplus was provided, Jill, and I am not contesting that. I am contesting the revenue side of it that we were
That's
not
what
made
you
aware.
Are you vote on. I have nothing to do with revenue.
I don't make revenue. We can take this offline, Jill, but at a certain point, we work with the information on the finance committee that we are given. by the Board of Selectmen, by the Superintendent of Schools, and by the Finance Department. I do not have access to your systems. I do, none of the members here do. And I cannot blindly, with the information, and neither can the Board of Finance, and they felt the same way, predict what our revenue is going to be. They don't have access to the information. You know, and I'm not contesting the fact that you told us about the surplus. I agree with you 100% that we spent it down, and I agree with you with the numbers. I am saying that we have not gotten, and that was part of the issue last year, some projections on a basis leading up to when people make their budgets, what the revenue side looks like. We go in blind without having a revenue projection, and we do a spending, and then we find out at the last minute that we don't have enough money to support it. And that's the feedback that I got from the Superintendent of Schools and from the Board of Selectmen, is that we spent all this trouble, we get the budget all done. The Board of Ed was done with their budget 1 month before the deadline to be presented. The Selectmen were done a couple of weeks later, and then we find out, gee, this is very reasonable, and then you wait a couple of weeks, a month later, and then we find out, oh, there is no money to support it. That is the problem. And I'm getting nods from the other members of the Finance Committee who are sitting here. And this is why we were surprised last year, and this is why we are surprised again this year. Because none of us have any way of guessing what how those numbers all come together in the background. And I will let, you know, I'm going to move on from this, but that's all I can say at this point. And if there's further questions from folks here, I would suggest you talk to the Superintendent of Schools, talk to the Finance Committee, talk to the Selectmen. Yes.
Elliot Hanbrook, Notch Road. I just have a clarifying question on page 11 on the surplus. I think it says a withdrawal of $2.5 million, but then the bar charts say $1.5 million. Is that intentional? Is there a difference of $1 million?
There.
Somewhere in that.
I can speak to that. It was initially there was discussion that it was there was confusion that it was $1.5 million. So we prepared the slides according to that, but then when digging in, figured out that it was $2.5 million. So it's just a miss on the slide and mislabeling. So okay. It is in fact $2.5 million, just to clarify.
Okay.
That was Stephanie.
And that was Stephanie speaking.
Yeah, the question was just brought up too late to be able to adjust the slides for them to go out. So
because once we go and post the public hearing and post this information, this is what we have to work from, and we can tell you what changes have been made in the interim, and they'll be reflected in the next iteration of the document.
Amanda has another question.
Amanda's back.
Amanda Borden, Gulf Road. No questions. Just wanted to highlight something that I don't think was really raised so far this year, but it speaks to the larger problem we have, which are the major projects that we have for our school system, the roof and the HVAC, right? And to the tune of multi-million of dollars, as well as I know the Board of Selectmen is working on a potential new town hall concept because this building does not currently meet our needs. It's not accessible. There's not enough space, et cetera, et cetera. We're talking about massive projects next year, and I think there's only $145,000 put towards future projects in this year's current capital budget, right? So this problem is only going to get worse. We've had major issues with, I know we've corrected some at the school system, right? But we can't be sending our kids into a school with no heating, and we cannot send them into a school with a leaking roof. You know, those are, I mean, at least I don't think that would be appropriate, and I hope that most people would agree with me. And so just to like lay that out there, that these are not 5, 10, 15 year issues, right? These are 2, 3, max 4 year issues that are gonna need to be dealt with. And can we go out to bonding for them? Yeah, potentially, right? But even so, that's still adding quite a bit of money to the budget and it for a long, long period of duration as well. So
the good news is we retire significant debt in 2032.
A lot.
Yeah, and by that's a ways out.
It is. I can't wait that long. But it is important for people to have that understanding for perspective.
Yeah. And we also did what's It's like if you refinance something, it's called refunding. So we did that with some of our bonds as well, because we bought them. They're what they're called callable bonds, where we don't have to let the holder keep them until maturity. And a good strategy is if you think the interest rates are going to go down, you basically put out a callable bond, because you're assuming that in the future, even though I'm paying a little more interest because of the risk they carry for the creditor, I'm going to make up for that because I know the interest rates are going down. And that's what we typically do with, you know, our bonds, is that if we think interest rates are going to go down in the future, we'll take out a callable bond. And then you do what's called refunding, which is basically you refinance it at a lower rate.
It's now, oh.
Yes. Oh, Rhea, you had a question. I think I ignored you all.
We have client for Bayberry Road. Just a couple questions. As far as the health insurance, it's always, we're always getting that information really late in the game. And in my experience, it's going down. So usually we start with a very high estimate from the companies, and then it does usually drop. And that doesn't happen until May or June.
Wait. Yeah, the number's like mid-March this year.
Oh, you are?
We
oh,
did that. Yeah. Oh. Yes.
Did you buy the ones?
I set it up this year for you.
And it was the same. And it was the same last year. When we moved to the state health plan, we're getting better numbers. You know, unfortunately, there were still digital double digits. It was 11.7%, I think, is where we ended up this year. But, you know, years past, you know, we were struggling, you know, back when Mr. Moore was first selected with rates at a 20% increase, you know. So this plan has been much more stable, and we are getting those actual numbers earlier in the year than we used to. Both last year and this year, we had those final numbers so that those could actually be plugged into the budget.
What you might be referring to is, as the spring goes on, is staffing changes. And staffing needs change, family needs change, or staff leave and come on board. Sometimes there are significant changes in what the cost is for the insurance from the board side.
Because they did drop as the process went on, and even past the first referendum.
Yeah, but that could be in some way luck of the draw, right? Like if you have a teacher that leaves the district that's on a family plan, and you're replaced with a teacher that he's not taking insurance, he had a little bit of parents though, and that would be a significant savings to the district and insurance. So that's a little bit of a crapshoot, and we never know who's coming or going and where people are going to be hired.
Very good. I want to also thank you for doing such a great job with the materials. I can actually see them right on my phone and go through everything, so it's very nice. And also, as far as the two bills related to the funding, the new funding is state SB 7 and it's HB 5002. So if you want to track those and see how they're progressing, it's on the CTGA.gov site. And you can just open up a little account and you can track, you can just stick the bills you're interested in seeing. And also our representative is MD Rahman, and you can call his office and just leave a message. And our representative, we have two in Bolton. If you're in District 8, it's Tim Ackert right now. And if you're in District 55, it's Steve Weir. And they're all, you know, they have assistance. They take your messages and they will get back to you if you want to talk to them. Thank you.
Do you mind if I go through something for a moment here?
Yeah. Go ahead, sir.
I took the liberty and had Stephanie put together a chart for us. Can she steal your screen for a moment?
Sure. Let me stop sharing.
And it's based on whatever cuts we want to make, starting from our 10% and getting down to a 0% increase. And it's just to show what's going to happen, and it's food for the Board of Ed's meeting or the Board of Finance meeting. Is there a meeting after this?
Yes,
meeting?
There is. And you guys are all welcome to sit around and listen.
I guess it's going to be food for that. So And it proposes, well, it's best if you see what I'm saying.
It's coming. There we go. Can you enlarge that a little? Let me move some of this stuff out of the way. No, can't do it. That's on your screen.
Click the
yeah.
And there we go.
What's that?
Can you help me to walk through it?
Yeah, can
you? Okay, yeah, sure. So what I created here is a mill rate calculator worksheet to make it relatively simple for us to make updates and see what the corresponding impact is to the mill rate. So in this column here, column C, this is where we are at today with the latest calculation, 35.46, which is a 9.78% increase, as you've heard earlier in the meeting. I did model a few other options to consider. These aren't final decisions as of this point, but just other scenarios to consider. If we were to keep the town proper and the Board of Ed budgets flat to last year, we would be at a 33.50 mill rate, which is a 3.72% increase. Moving over, column F, if we assume a 2% increase for town proper and Board of Ed, that would equate to a 34.34 mill rate or a 6.32% increase in taxes. And then one other option we modeled here is if we assume 50% of the expenditure increase for town proper and Board of Ed, but also modified the CAPA budget or capital budget down to the minimum, which is 1 mil, that would bring it to a 34.22 mill rate, which would be 5.94% of an increase. So we are looking at different options in order to bring that mill rate down for the taxpayers.
I guess, are we asking, answering questions again? Amanda's.
Yep, Amanda. This gentleman. Or somebody who else? Another hand? Yes, sir. Back.
Yeah, Scott Michaud, 29 Green Hill Road.
Then come on up so we can hear you. You said Dennis Shaw?
Scott Michaud.
Scott Michaud.
So I moved here about 22 years ago, and one of the things that I looked at Bolton was that it was a decent community, but the taxes were low compared to surrounding towns. I think we missed the point that if the taxes are going up as they have been, my taxes have gone up just under 30% if this budget's passed in the last 4 years. That's way above inflation. And we're going to price people out to come to this town. They might want to have the schools, but there's a lot of towns around here, Coventry, Glastonbury, whatever. And I think we need to look at some of the expenditures. I know we talk about it being a revenue problem, but if the expenditures were less, it's not a revenue problem. And I don't know what to cut specifically. I like some of the ideas that people have said. It'd be great if we got that, the cost sharing grant passed at the state. But it's different. And I would just like to comment too, that some of the increases for the towns that are on the presentation, I think were the original proposals. And a lot of those towns have actually cut significant money from their budget proposals. For example, Glastonbury cut 2.5 million. I think Somers cut, or South Windsor cut 2 million. And Somers has gone down significantly too. So when you look at that chart, it makes it look like we're not really having as much of an increase compared to others. They're actually below us now. So most towns are cutting the budgets. I just think that the increases that we've had have just been a lot. My neighbors and the people that I talk to, and I think you said, the 10% increases, it's just a lot. Yeah. And I know you said too, like people would be more involved. They should have said something a long time ago. Not now at the budget as far as maybe some of these suggestions, but all the way along, we were looking at a 4% increase. And on April 9th, there was that surprise, which I think you have acknowledged.
Yeah.
But if that be the case, if I was watching, which I do, the meetings, or I listen to the audio and stuff like that, I wasn't really concerned about the way the budget was going. So I had no reason to come and comment. And here we are. So I really hope that people would consider. I also would hope that we kind of don't go as far with the referendums and that as we vote no, if that's the vote, is that we don't kind of keep going with the extra ones, because the actual budget increase last year at 4.73% was higher than the three last budgets as far as the mill rate that
tax
was.
Tax increase.
The tax increase. The previous three votes, including the last one, were like 3% and change. So because we waited so long and then the interest and whatever adjustments and fees, and I didn't get all that, it just kind of became a higher increase than anyone, you know, we had already voted no on three times. So I just hope that you guys, I wish you well in making the decisions. And I do hope that you would consider that there are people who can't afford the tax increases like this every year. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Amanda, you got a question?
Amanda, Golf Road. I just had a question. Is there a dollar value? I can't see here. Is there a dollar value on the chart for what those cuts equate to in terms of dollar value?
From the expenditure side?
Yeah.
Yes. It's on a different slide here. It would bring it down, assuming the expenditures stay flat, the reduction to expenditures would actually be a reduction of $21,000. And then if we do a 2% budget increase, the overall increase would be 1.75. So I don't have that straight comparison to the original, but it would come down to the 1.75% increase. So I do have.
And I just want to respond to Scott. I think your point about the other budgets in the other towns is a good one. Like, they did reduce their budgets, but if Costumary reduced their budget by $2 million, that's less than 1.5%, right? You can't.
And that's Amanda Gordon speaking.
Our budget would be 5% of our, like a massive amount of our budget, right? So, you know.
If I could just comment on that, then.
I'd just like to also does not have discussion between folks in the audience. I'd like to direct it here. So if you want to respond, could you direct it to us for comment? And I don't want to have back and forth in the audience. It's not the purpose of this sure. meeting.
So come there again?
Yeah. Come on up.
Bill Scott,
let us know when you change.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine. The only reason I commented on those towns was because those towns were used as comparisons
yep.
for citizens to look at and to make it look like Bolton's increase is not as significant as everyone else's.
So
if you're going to use those towns,
update them.
Then they should not, that we can't, if it's that's not comparing oranges to oranges or apples to apples, then they shouldn't have been used as a comparison to begin with.
So what we can do is take a look at them and see what their current, you know, rate is, because this was what we had at the time we published this. So it's a point well taken. We can look at that and make sure that the comparisons are valid with whatever their current numbers are. That work?
Well, in towns that would be comparable to Bolton.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I like Tom Gent, 20 Meadow Road. I'd like to follow on something that I think, Chris, you brought up. The notion of maybe doing a projection for even 1 or 2 years out for a budget. Because if we're faced with an increase of, say, 9.4%, that 9.4% is inherent in next year's starting point.
Yes.
So you're carrying it forward for eternity. If there's some sense of where we expect, look, take the pain now at 9.4%, by next year, if we do that this year, we're looking at really you're going to project maybe a 3 or a 4 or a 5. It might be a more palatable sell. So whatever the case, that's just my 2 cents. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I think we can do that.
I think it would be fun to go through those percentages and take a vote. Just kind of get a hum.
Those percent.
It's up to the board, the finance committee, yeah. I guess. But
what was decided?
Let's talk about it at our meeting.
Yeah.
Russell, I'll give you the first time I'm in some of
yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's waiting for you. You've been you've been shy tonight.
All evening.
You've been looking.
I'm not going to hit your budget and your percentage of the increase and stuff like that. I didn't get elected to the Board of Finance. I take my hat off to you people for having to do this every single year. But I'll bring it up again like I did last year. The Board of Finance, if you want people to get involved, this place to be packed, then to go through what we did last year for six referendums, threw away, as far as I'm concerned, $36,000 that cannot be made up.
And when you say that money is for the referendum.
So my point is to start at a high percentage increase, which is almost 10%. And historically, I've been here 40 years, is around three point whatever. I've seen it many, many, many years ago at 2-point-some percent. Your people are just going to vote no because they don't know. But if they find out that it's at 10%, it's no. If it's at 8%, it's no. It's just putting us through something that is not bringing this town together, which I've been hearing that for some people in this audience. And that's all I'll say about that. The other thing I'd like to say, and so I brought it up last
just week, I just wanted to clarify. So what you're saying is instead of even bringing up 10%, you're saying let's just start with 5 and be done with it.
Whatever it is that you can in the budget that you can cut. I'm not going to.
No, I'm just looking for a general number that you're comfortable 5% with.
5% would be great. I'd be surprised if that didn't go first referendum vote. But anyway, my other point is, and I brought this up last year.
Yep.
Where's the name tags? I don't know any of you people. You introduced yourself. Poof, it's gone. I mean, and I think that for most people here, unless they know these individuals, and I think that helps people in this town because a lot of people are using Zoom more often. And they'll just say those people. And that's not how you bring the town together. I was on planning and zoning for 20 years. We had signs up with our names on for a reason. So people knew during the conversation who they were talking to and who if that person made a right decision on a vote, I would let that person next time. As Rodney corrected me last year when I said it was, I wanted to know who not to vote for, and Tom said, but also to vote for, and he's right. So anyways, that's all I have.
Yep, I just put it down. I'll go do some tonight myself. If we don't get formal ones printed up, it's a point well taken.
The name tents?
Yes.
I could print them out on cardstock, and I will.
That should be for every commission.
Yes.
We have them for the Board of Ed.
Some point I remember we had them, and then we stopped doing it a while ago.
Well, it costs money to do them. Man, unless we just do the folded over for once.
I'll do the folded over once for the next meeting. My takeaway.
Could we get a name on that last? Name and address.
Name and address for you, sir.
Just for the record.
Eric Lunto, Link Street.
Thank you.
People in the waiting room, I think, folks.
Where do we have?
Click on participants.
Where are we going? Sorry, I'm
down to your left.
Down to participants.
Actually, click the participant there.
Right there.
Okay. Yep, there you go.
He's changing.
And, well,
waiting room. I'm going to admit.
And then there's a chat.
And then we have a chat question.
Oh, it was just you can't check later.
Yeah. All set. Any other questions? Yeah.
I'll make sure.
Thank you, sir.
It was giving you a notification still, so I wasn't sure if there was any. Hi.
Yes.
Just a quick Barbara Modio of Olson Road. The question was brought up about us. You form some kind of letter that we can send. But we haven't nailed you down on that. Can someone do that?
What we were talking about is that it would be better coming from one of the town committees, like the Republican Town Committee or the Democratic Town Committee, as opposed to us doing it. Because we have to be careful about how what we say to you or advise you to do, because we want to we don't want to make it look like we're, we don't want to and don't want to make it look like we're trying to influence you. Our job is to provide you the information and for you to decide what to do. So I'd reach out to the Democratic Town Committee or the Republican Town Committee and talk about the ECS funding and who to talk to and get a template for it, like we, you know, Rodney had suggested.
My question was kind of
Scott with, again, with
Chris Duffy, from Nate Stonehenge. Is there a threshold for cutting? Like, you know, oh, here I cut 1 cent. Let's have another referendum. You know, like, how much is enough that it's
we technically have to cut. It can be any amount from a dollar, you know, any amount. It could be a penny and
a responsible amount. You know, like, oh, hey, I'm going to keep cutting because I don't want to give any more until somebody says, uncle, let me get enough.
Well, some of it is, I'll leave that up to the board. I can't speak for them. But again, I get your point to it. But at a certain point, if we're giving a small cut, I think we also need to make sure that we really can't go lower. We feel that we really cannot go lower than this. We should make that clear. And that this is why we're doing a minimal amount. And I think that's what we have to by charter make a reduction if the referendum does not have at least one more yes than no's. And I would also encourage you to get as many people to come out to vote, because at this point I care less about the direction that you go with your votes than having a good number of them, so we understand how the whole town feels. Because the way we do it now, it's about 1,100 people who decide for the other 2,700 registered voters in town. It still doesn't affect the outcome, but it just makes us understand better. Are you waiting for someone else to do your dirty work? Do you just step up when you feel, okay, someone else got it cut enough? I don't know. I really do not know what the other folks think. And I would just be much happier getting the same vote from, say, 3,000 people than 1,100, 1,000, you know, whatever.
Yeah, on that. I'm sorry, I was just saying on that note, we had the best turnout last year that we have in recent years. You can, if you scroll down to the slides, to the voting numbers.
Yes.
The turnout is higher, much, much higher last year across the board, but.
That's more to the top. I got to go.
Yeah, click the first page of the agenda.
15, yeah.
I got to remember to share when I find it, because only the folks in the room can see it. So there we go. So let me go back to share in Zoom.
Again, what the change in times are for the referendums. So everybody can know
that. Hey, Willie, sharing. So the referenda are from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. This year, based on the town charter, the hours have been extended in previous years based on, I think, the selectmen's or registrar's choice, one of the two.
It's the selectmen's.
Okay. Selectmen's choice. But the registrar had come to us this year with a number of discussion items, and that's where it landed.
It's basically the registrar's heard, and I'm wearing two hats, so I'll go put my registrar hat on for a second. The other registrar is sitting there, and actually, let you talk to it, Sandy, if you would. Okay. Sandy, why do we reduce the hours? I'd rather have it come from somebody else other than me.
Sure. As a couple people mentioned earlier, referendums aren't free, and we looked at our budget remaining for this fiscal year, and our first referendum is in May. We have two more potentials scheduled this fiscal year. That would be three. By reducing the hours from noon to 8 p.m., we cut almost in half the cost of the actual referendum. So, and our charter, the ordinance that the Board of Selectmen passed many years ago actually says that referendums shall be held noon to 8 p.m. unless the Board of Selectmen set them differently. So, in my lifetime, as a voter in Bolton. I don't remember having referendums from noon to eight, but somebody in their wisdom passed that ordinance and it's still on the books. So we took advantage of it. If you look at the numbers of people who vote and we track it by hour, our busiest hours are 3 to 8 p.m. We get a trickling in at 6 a.m. as people are heading out of town. We get a trickling at after school drop off between 8 and 9. Then it drops off during the morning and we can go an hour with 20 to 25 people showing up. This way, we're focusing on our busiest hours, saving the town money, and hopefully getting more people involved because they'll be focused on, oops, I need to be there between noon and eight.
If I could just add, part of the referendum too is if you know you're going to be outside of those hours, you can come to the town hall and vote before the referendum day.
The absentee ballot.
You get an absentee ballot if you know you're going to be out of town.
Super easy to come in and out. I've done it a couple times because of work travel.
But that's, you can't do it the day of voting only.
No, you can only do it up until the close of business the day before the referendum.
And until the ballots are available is when it starts, correct?
That's correct.
They should be available a day or two after the finance committee sets the formal budget for the referenda. So we have
to move.
It's on our calendar.
It's on our calendar.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions? Let me look online, see if any hands are up. Oops.
You need to click on for just a minute.
Let's just do that. Hold on a second. I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to click on participants. Let's move this up. Get rid of chat. Here we go. I am not seeing any hand raised online. Do we have any other questions in the room? Going once, going twice, going three times, I will close the public hearing at 8:52 and we can move immediately into our finance committee meeting.
If you're in the room, you could sign the sheet of paper in the front to know that we know that you were here. That would be great.
Do you want a line?
Yeah, put a line.
So actually we're going to break for about 5 minutes for folks listening. So we will reconvene at 9 o'clock at the latest. Recording. Okay, I'm going to call to order our regular meeting. Not a regular meeting, I'm sorry, our special meeting of the Finance Committee of April 21st. And again, we will go through with who is here. And we have from myself, Ross Lally, Chair, I'm a member at large. We have Melissa Wieland, a member at large. Tyler Egner, member at large, Rodney Fournier, first selectman representing the selectmen. We also have David Coles representing the selectmen. And then let's see who else we have.
Benjamin Davies, president.
Ben Davies and Danae Johnson, almost forgot her name. For Board of Ed, Superintendent Caruso from Board of Ed and James Rupert are town administrator, and we have here our interim finance director, Stephanie Smigala. So we can get started. We did our call to order and it was 9 o'clock. So we can do public participation again. It's on our agenda. So if there's any further comments and otherwise, please bring them next time to next week so we can go through the meeting and absorb the comments that we do have. I don't see any hands raised. There's no public in the room. And I'm looking to see if there's anybody hand raised online, and I am not seeing them. So, oh, Stephanie's in the waiting room. Let me admit her. There we go. And so we'll move on to ongoing business. Discuss the result of the public hearing. Ladies and gentlemen, I will turn it over to you. I'm tired of talking.
I heard the public saying that there were 5% would be palatable. We didn't really come up with any focus on where to cut it or how to get there. And I would venture to go out with 6% if we can get it.
So, I heard them saying too that it's meaningful to see that, hey, we're at 10% now. How do we get somewhere else before we go to the first referendum rather than just throwing 10% out there?
Correct.
And also like, assurances that this 10% is not going to be this year, next year, the year.
Right, right. So that there's effort being put in to make sure that, hey, we're going to increase the revenue, we're going to decrease the expenditures, some combination of the two.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know. We put our budgets together, you come up with what you come up with, and then you hatchet it. I mean, we can't just go start off your budget.
But if you're doing something year over year and it's a cost year over year and you realize, hey, I don't need to actually be spending this cost, then that's an easy way in the middle of the year to determine, hey, this doesn't necessarily need to get carried into next year's budget.
And this also ties to two other comments because that were made of one, can we do a multi-year projection so we understand what does the future look right. like with the tax increases? And that would benefit all of us.
Yes.
Yes.
Because if it's out there in public and it's not part of this, we figure out expenses and then we do, you know, revenue and we don't know what the revenue is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We should be having a projection of what the revenue is upcoming and then the budgets are tuned to that. Mm-hmm. And then we present the whole thing is what I heard. And so that ties into let's do the 2-year projections. And then that helps us answer the other guy's question too. He says, if you could tell me that this is going to end if we do 10% this year,
right?
You know, it would help answer that question. Cause right now to me, it looks like there's no end.
Yep.
Yep. And there's not going to be an end until the revenues increase.
Right.
And people don't want that revenue to be coming
or until
their taxes.
Or until you just cut our budget back far enough that you get to there's no tax increase. And then you have to start building up again at 3 or 4% a year.
There was some level too of the desire to be able to take the action, but some of it is you need to be able to know where to go, what to do. Like when the Board of Education outreach was brought up, you know, the idea that someone could craft a message, yeah, that's great, but then someone needs to actually go do it because obviously we can't be the partisan push to get that to happen, but we can recommend that people go find a way to get their voices heard, regardless of which way it goes. So maybe that's some of the marketing materials that we use for next year as well.
Yeah, these numbers don't include. Balance for this year's budgets either, correct?
Only what we've committed.
Right? Yeah. And that's part of what it was said up front is we'll know more as we go along is, you know, what we're going to be able to commit because part of, if it looks like to us that the budget will get, you know, taken care of in, let's say, two referenda or three tops, then the registrars can look at what do we have left to commit. If it goes, you know, if it looks like we're going to be done soon, there's more flexibility with what the registrars can give back. I know that much.
But they
have. No, Brad, do you guys have a copy of that?
Did you want
to pull this up? Plan. Did you make copies for all of us so we can all look at it? No.
Can somebody go up and make a copy, possibly?
Yeah, be easier than trying to put it on screen.
So for folks online, we're going to look at what Rodney had asked Stephanie to do earlier, which was to put together some scenarios. What does the budget look like if you make certain amount of cuts? What's the dollar and percentage change in both the budget and in the tax increase? So first selectman Fournier is going to go make copies so we have them to look at, and we'll also bring it up on the screen for those out in the audience. You're right, you have it with share.
And there is a column you can put a custom number with nice stuff in
it. Yeah, I can modify it.
He's doing this in black and white.
There you go.
Save us a couple cents. I know, but the cost of black and white versus color copying is wild.
The black and white.
The black and white. Two pages.
And just to let folks know, we will be back talking shortly. Rodney is handing out copies, and I want to thank him and again, Stephanie, for putting this together to help our discussion tonight. Thank you, sir.
I assume the packet will be amended to include this.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have.
Okay. Of course, with the disclaimer that these aren't final calculations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm running again.
So would it is it my thinking wrong that if we were to cut our budgets from next year, would we be able to do a combination of givebacks this year and the cuts from next year to come up with the total?
Well, the givebacks come up as the revenue side, and then
they could offset.
The cuts then come on the spending side, and the combination's what makes the mill rate.
So we could combine the two to come up with the mill rate we want?
Yeah, that's basically it. You have two levers to pull. You can pull one and ignore the other, or you can do some combination of both.
So we have to come up with how much? 150,000, I think it was?
Well, I mean, if you're trying to achieve the 50% of the expenditure increase and achieve the 5.94%,
right?
If that's what your goal is,
that's my first thought. I'm just trying to move this conversation along here. It's 9 o'clock, so.
Why don't you make a motion to that effect? And you're saying when you say the 6%, are you referring to the tax increase or what's
the tax? That would be the tax increase.
So your proposed, basically the motion would be to reduce the spending, to reduce the expenditure, increase revenue to achieve a 6% increase in taxes.
So now do we usually use that increased revenue to go into the surplus fund?
There's...
If you didn't apply it to the revenue side of the budget.
Right.
Any money that you had left over would increase your
surplus.
Yes.
So what would the preference be? Put it in the surplus or put it against the revenue?
That you have this money that you're talking about? Because, I mean...
Why don't we make a motion for discussion purposes? You know, Rodney, if you want to make the motion...
I'll make a motion for discussion purposes that we aim for a goal... of the
no more than a 6%
tax increase. Than a 6% tax increase.
Do I have a second?
Second.
So motion made and seconded. Discussion.
Yeah, it's not actionable by either board of finance, board of selectmen, or board of education.
At this point, do we think it's discussion on?
Sure. No, I know
how we apportion it equally proportionally. We haven't said anything yet. It's just what do you think of them? Or do you want to amend it to say a certain percentage?
Can we calculate a dollar amount that we have to get to?
Well, okay.
Well, so because this was for discussion, shouldn't the motion be to request that both boards figure out how to reduce so that we get down to that percent, not for that to be the percent?
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, because we can set that amount and then it's up to the boards to figure out how they're going to do
it. You can go, you can do it two.
Up to.
You can go with two ways. These, you know, we can mandate it as the finance committee that's in the charter that we can do that. And we can say it's same, you know, 50% from Board of Ed, 50% of that from Board of Selectmen, or we can say it's proportional to the size of their budgets, which is one of the things we've done in the past, so that you would have to basically 70% of the cut coming from the Board of Ed and the other 30 from the Board of Selectmen. So it's up to what, you know, what the sense of the committee, you know, finance committee is.
So do you want to, Stephanie, do you want to explain the second page?
Yeah.
Which is the,
yeah,
which is the revenue or the expense side of things.
And for folks who are listening, what we're going to be looking at is what combination of revenue and expenses gets us to that 6% increase in taxes.
So this is, I have a second spreadsheet that is, I think, printed out and copied for everybody, but this focuses just on the expenditures and what they look like based on those changes that were modeled on the other page. So on the left-hand side, top left, that's where we are today. And then scrolling over to the right, there's additional models. So if we keep, actually, I'll skip down to the 50. If we assume the 50% cut to the increase for town proper and Board of Ed and move to the minimum kappa, then our overall increase in expenditures will be 1.49%.
So they kind of line up between the two pages, from top to bottom and left to right.
Okay, yeah. I get it. Yeah, yes.
And so this is not apportioning this in any particular way, or is it, it's 50-50 or
what? Yeah, it's like for town proper, I cut the increase down by half. So
it's the same thing for Board of Select, yeah, so for Board of Ed.
Yep. Or so 311, instead of 311 for town proper, it's 155. Board of Ed 813 goes down to 406. So the increase goes down to, it reduces $710,000.
We were also looking at potentially decreasing capital to the 1 mil minimum, right?
That's this also. It's the 616, which is a mil of the.
The capital in this versus the capital in the presentation don't match.
No, because it's 1%.
No. Like even the FY26.
The 764. 448.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I was looking at the FY26, not the FY27. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is just on the expenditure side. So I don't know if it's as clean as splitting the difference if we take half of the 710 from expenditures and then we have to find the rest in revenue. I think that I'd have to check that out. Make sure that
well, but the revenue would come at this point not from anything that miraculously showed up on the doorstep. It would have to be surplus return from the Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen,
which means not quite freezing the current budgets, but
so like 355 we need to come from expenditures and 355 we need to find in surplus.
And does that seem to make sense, or do we have to do that in revenue? Oh, well.
Because if we take it from the surplus, we're not getting that back.
Well, we don't have any surplus. It's already applied.
Oh, it is? Okay. Got it.
Surplus was applied to get us to 10. This is approximately 10%. So there's nothing left there.
Right.
So we still have money from this year that isn't spent. So,
and may not.
We can eat.
It would be give backs.
So if we could conserve some of that.
But we don't know what that is yet.
It'll apply it.
$355,000 worth.
Probably not the full amount,
right?
Half that. No, what's yeah. a fair estimate? Well, then,
yeah, what would be a?
They don't know yet. We've been getting hit with extra salt, broken off furnaces, and all kinds of stuff.
Well, this gets down to we're not going to know better for a little longer.
And our accounting department is a little bit behind, so it's not like everything's up to date. So. At all,
we usually do like month ends, and so the information that we get is effective as at the end of the previous. So
yeah, it's not real time.
It's not real time, unfortunately. So the information we'll be working from now is good from the end of March. You can make some guesstimates, but we don't have it. We won't know what this month was for another couple of weeks.
So I hope, is this of any help to anyone? And the other choice we could do is that your little yellow lines where we can change the number there.
Yeah. This is if we modify, let's say this is originally, if we get closer to last year's mill rate, it was clear on that.
So basically it comes down to that if you wanted to get to 6% spending increase, if you wanted to do it proportionately and tax increase, you take 4% from the Board of Ed budget and 4%, you know, ask and 4% from the selectmen. You know, have them each reduce their budget by that, you know, amount. And then the Board of Ed is about 1% over last year, and the selectmen are a fraction of 1% over where they were last year.
That's if we want to get to 6.
That's yeah, because let's say you cut your spending by 4% both boards, that gets you to about a 6% tax increase.
Right. Okay. So
that's just another. It's the other way of looking at it.
So you had a 2% budget increase instead of the full 4. And that would get us to the 6%.
Yeah, yeah, if we reduce.
That's only. So we each have 2% left.
That's a 6.32% increase.
Which turns to be.
And that's just on the expense side. So if you could pop up another 1/3% from, you know, additional revenue that you find that's, you know, from funds not expended this year, then you get to 6. And that seems like that would
3,000 for what we have today.
That fraction of 1% seems like you could find it reasonably between the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen. I'd be more concerned about the revenue cuts than finding 1/3% of, you know, savings.
So there's my proposal.
So then if you we to do this, then it's like 4% reduction on Board of Selectmen, 4% reduction of Board of Ed in their expenditures, and then between the two of them find another 0.3% and, you know, unexpended fund monies for this current fiscal year.
Or find more money from this fiscal year and reduce less.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is that would that extra 1/3% would have to come from money saved this year that we didn't spend. So if you froze the budget, for example,
just to make up the other 1/3%.
Yeah, so it's a 4% spending, or you can just do the fractionals, you know, just throw another 4.15% decrease for both the Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen if you wanted to keep it simpler.
Can you explain to me just for a second how you would freeze the budget? Does that mean no new expenditures, or like what exactly would that mean?
No, nothing discretionary.
Okay.
Is that what it would mean for you, Dave?
I think so.
We have to do, but nothing discretionary.
So it's like, so I'm just giving an example from the registrars. We have to do the elections. That's not
right.
Discretionary, but do we need to do some certain training that is not required by the state? You know, stuff like that we don't have to do, to give an example.
And it's, you know, it's going to vary by each area what they, you know, what's mandatory and what's not. But I think it would be reasonable to find a small percentage someplace in addition.
My suggestion would be is that we think about it. We start with this number, bring it back, you know, at the next public hearing. Start with, you know, let's go with a 6% tax increase max. And we'll find that by reducing each budget by 4.1%. And then we look further at if there's a way to get it to that 5%.
That's putting us at zero increase, right?
If yeah.
You reduce us by four.
Assuming that they don't.
So if you go with the.
I'm just saying
this year. I'm like, that's no you increase know, have, over.
So if you reduce us by 4%. Yeah. We're at 4.84 right now.
Yeah, so you'd be at 0.84.
Which is
and you're about done there. I'd be hesitant to push it below well, that.
If you're well, that would be an $800,000 reduction.
Even how to get there.
If you're right. Keeping the budget
yeah.
flat, then according to I'm this, sure we should brings it to 3.72.
Yeah,
can we have one conversation? I have like three going. What's
this? If a flat budget, which is pretty much what you're saying, is 3.72%.
Went three. What is
tax increase?
Yes, flat budget's about 4% round numbers. Yes,
right. That's but not... so we were talking about 6%, which is a 2% decrease, not a 4% decrease.
4%.
It's 2%. 5.94, right?
Now we have a 10% tax increase. So to get that, you have to reduce your spending by 4% in order to get to the 6% tax.
So that was my question. Is that 4%. Piece accounted for in here somewhere, or is that totally separate?
So am I incorrect? Yeah. To get us to a flat budget increase, if we did no increase, what would the tax increase be?
3.72%.
So roughly 4%.
Yeah.
So then if you increased it to a 2% increase in the budget, then that's where we get to 6%.
3.2%.
Okay. Yeah. So that means you have to reduce the current budgets to be no more than 2% over last year.
Yes.
Assuming that we're making all of this come out of spending reductions with no other revenues found.
And we can probably still work some capital into that too, if we had to.
I think
yes, we'd have to.
I think that just Stephanie, does that assume
that assumes
to reducing capital right. to a
no, yeah. that's only yeah. in the one.
It's only sorry, in the yeah. column what G here, the 5.94% increase.
It doesn't include reducing capital.
It does. It does include it.
It does with
much right, capital. But the 6.32 does not.
Does not.
Correct.
Only that one column, that 5.9. Right. Includes reducing the capital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've already worked with staff when we found some areas that we can reduce capital.
Well, that's wonderful.
But do we want to reduce capital after the budget fails once? I'm going to put it out there.
I will put it to phrase it in terms of what are your priorities as opposed to we're just going to cut a little bit more. What does it make sense to cut that's not going to bite you as much in the future?
So I think it's much more reasonable to start with 2% budget increase for the board and for the Board of Ed and for the Board of Selectmen rather than cutting $800,000 right off the bat from the school budget, which I think is very impractical. And you're looking at teaching positions if we do that.
But it's going to be a $500,000 cut.
Still.
It's still
going to be. I think it even slightly higher than that, if you were to take the 50% of the expenditure increase and then take some kappa, but not the min kappa, then you land it somewhere in that low six range as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a more palatable decrease than going straight to 2%, because then you're at, 2.4 for the Board of Ed, and you're at 2.0-something for the Board of Selectmen.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit higher than that, and you're finding a little bit in the kappa, and it's not straight to 2% for both.
And you also have to understand we're dealing with the perception that I've heard from folks last year that we started with a 5% increase of of expenditure, 13% in taxes, and we cut the budget expense down to about 1% and change, and a 5% tax increase, and nothing broke. So they are looking at it from the perspective of, we gamed them, and now, you know, and nothing broke after they made us cave. So you have to deal with that perception as well. And how do you help correct that? Because at a certain point, things will break.
Well, it's also hard to hear that because there's other towns around us that have had recent examples in the past 5 years of, hey, we went down to 2% or below, especially for the Board of Education. And that meant, you know, getting rid of middle school sports, getting rid of these things that the kids actually enjoy and, you know, makes
going I know. To school. I'm just saying, so there's a certain, yeah, there's a certain amount of explaining that, you know, we need to do in order to avoid, you know, to correct that perception that nothing broke the last time, and so therefore nothing's going to break this time. I've heard a lot of that. Just they figured, look how you guys caved and nothing broke. And part of what did break is the registrars having to change, you know, we don't have the money for it.
Yeah.
Surplus.
Yeah, and the surplus is surplus, gone.
I think the other thing that gets missed when you say nothing broke.
I'm telling you what their perception.
No, I understand. And when people think nothing broke, and those might be people who didn't feel necessarily the impact of a loss of a paraprofessional or the loss of a teacher,
right,
or a loss of a program. Maybe the kids that participated in that, they felt that. And for those students and for those families, they felt it. It might not be 1,000 voters, but it might not be the majority of people out there. But to say that it had no impact is not correct. And these reductions do have an impact on kids. They do have an impact on opportunities that we are able to provide for our students.
Yeah.
I said at the PTA meeting tonight, and I believe this, I think that the Fulton Public Schools is the pride of this community and is our most valuable asset. And people move here for the schools and they stay here for the schools. And anytime we cut something, you're slowly eroding what people love about Bolton Public Schools. I understand the financial situation we're in. I understand that cuts are most likely going to happen. But just to think because the schools don't close, it didn't have an impact, I think is short-sighted.
One of the things that we've always prided ourselves in is our small class sizes. Like,
right, you
know, a lot of money to go to a private school to get small, yeah, class sizes that we have here organically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we will lose that with cuts. Our class sizes will increase. Our students will have less attention from teachers, mm-hmm, and it will have a trickle-down impact because these are people that we're not going to be able to hire again. And they're not going to be the long tenure teachers that know all of our students. They're going to be new teachers every year. And, you know, maybe people coming right out of school who can take a lesser salary rather than the people that have been here for 20 years that know our kids and, you know, have gone through everything with us. So
I think you've seen it, but I've also seen it at the high school, like the teachers that you had when you were there, teachers that I had when I was there, a lot of them are already gone, yeah, from, some of it was retirements, but a lot of it was turnover. It was, you're going to find a different school, a different department that wasn't here.
When I was in school, a couple of my classmates' parents had the teachers that were still our teachers.
Yeah, same.
And that is not the case now.
I can look at the
list. Yeah, the impact of budget cuts on the school aren't always as obvious and in your face. And, oh my gosh, things fell apart because we made a cut. That doesn't mean that they weren't impactful.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you had mentioned the concern that's already brewing in the talks you had to do.
Yeah. Yep.
So I would just say that I've heard similar comments. I'll let Rodney and Jim speak to their version of, you know, what I've heard about the Board of Ed, but I do know for a fact that our employees from the Board of Selectmen side were very, very worried and troubled last year about, were they going to have their jobs? How long was this going to go? There's a big hit in morale. So I'll let you guys speak to it, you know, more.
If I could, in the PTA meeting we just had, a lot of the people that attended on Zoom were teachers and they are concerned. And
we're unfortunately just starting to ask us questions about that, right, when we had to leave and come back here and we invited them to come to this meeting.
Right. And I was speaking today when we got here, I feel bad because the teachers shouldn't have to worry about that right now. Our teachers should be worrying about the students that are in front of them, mm-hmm, and preparing the lessons and delivering instruction for our kids and not be sidetracked by this distraction.
Yeah.
And so you asked me to
talk. Yeah, I was going to say, well, I'm just saying we have to explain to people what the consequences of these cuts are.
And we do have a morale issue at this moment in time with town staff. They're concerned that, you know, there are a few of them that, you know, are not protected by a union, and some of them within the, you know, the Board of Selectmen have talked about, you know, what will happen with our wage increases this year. You know, do we look at joining a bargaining unit? Do we look at, you know, looking for employment outside the town of Bolton? You know, where do we go from here? And, you know, I try to reassure them, Rodney is an amazing first selectman. One of the things that he does is he comes in and he makes eye contact and has conversations with every one of our employees. He is really great about that, and I think that helps. But, you know, they are concerned about the impact that this is going to have on them. You know, it's, as you mentioned earlier, Ross, you know, this is the second year in a row that we're facing a really, really difficult budget.
And it's probably going to turn into three or four at this rate.
And it is. So, you know, I think that's the reality, especially, you know, we can't put off the school roof because there are issues there that we have to deal with. You know, so that is something that we're going to have to take on some more debt in order to solve that problem. Is the timing perfect? No, it's not perfect. And so, you know, when we sit at this table later on this year, as we start to plan for next year and we get into next year, you know, these things need to be part of our conversation. They need to be part of our thought process. And, you know, I think there was, listen, I really appreciate the number of people that attended tonight. I think, you know, there was a lot of things mentioned. I think our public outreach as a whole with the coffee and conversations and other things that we've done, both collectively, collaborating with the Board of Ed, the Finance Committee, and the Board of Selectmen, I think that was well received. And I think, you know, we've got an audience here because of those outreaches. And this is a community problem. It's not a Board of Selectmen problem. It's not a Board of Ed problem. It's not a Board of Finance problem. It's a community issue that we have to solve together. And, you know, I am concerned about where we go from here, what happens. You know, I may not be a resident of the town of Bolton, but I'm invested. I'm here almost 20 years. And I don't want to go anywhere else. This is where I want to finish my career, because I am invested. And I think enough of this community that, you know, when an opportunity for my son came up to move into this community, I encouraged that. This is a great community for a lot of reasons. And a lot of what you talked about here tonight, a lot of what we heard from the public, are the things that make this an amazing community. And, you know, we've got to find a way creatively to solve these problems without eroding the fabric of our community. And it really is important that we have these conversations. You know, Ross has been really proactive, you know, visiting with Dave, he's visited with me, he's visited with Rodney, he's been spending a lot of time with Stephanie. And I give him a lot of credit for doing that, because it's helped. It's helped us get where we're at today, where we're having these open discussions and really serious conversations, not just about solving the problem for the moment, but how do we solve the problem for the future? You have anything to add?
Very good. No, I think there's cost saving things coming down the pike in the very near future, as far as the finance department's operation and moving into Tyler, which will eliminate a lot of paperwork for the staff, the supervisors, and I think it'll become more efficient, and we'll be able to do more forecasting without fighting, waiting for the next report to come out. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. And
I think we did mention to you, the selectmen could talk about, in addition to this, you've got possibly that savings from, you know, with this in the finance department because of Jill's retirement, because right now you're budgeted for two people.
Well, we're going to need help from somebody. It's not It's going to be a person and a half for a person and a quarter
for a little bit.
Yeah, which is fine. But I mean,
we could give up some of it. Yes.
You need to just talk to it because it came up here.
Right.
Because all these transitions, you usually pay a little bit more because of the overlap and then it drops off.
Right.
It's just the way they work typically.
So we have a direction here of some sort.
So it looks like I would just sum it up that the homework is for the selectmen and the Board of Education to see what you can do to get to a 2%, get your ask down to 2%. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what I'm understanding.
Your original, I thought, was for the 50% increase, which is
the motion
is slightly different than 2%.
Or you can withdraw the motion since it was purely for discussion.
And the other ask is that we try to not freeze the budgets, but act extremely prudent and try to
get back,
carry some extra over, even if it has to hurt. I think that's going to be very important.
So
that can land in the plus side on the. You're going to start building that money back up somehow.
So then I just want to summarize, because then I'm going to ask you to withdraw your motion because it was for discussion only. So the summary is, see what we can do to get to 2% in the maximum of a 2% increase. Is that what I was hearing?
Well, no, I think you're
right. The discussion was 6%.
It was the 50%.
Now, 2%
budgeting.
Budget. Expenditure increase, which gets you to approximately the 6% tax increase.
It's just the scenario we're referring to is 50%.
Right.
That's not just trying to clarify, because we're all over the place.
I can take a stab at this motion if you'd like.
Well, no, I just want to understand. We have the motion is there, and I just want to know, what did the discussion wind up at, so we can summarize that. And
then you can withdraw the motion. Than your motion, because your motion was the 50% expenditure with min kappa, right?
No, I was using
the 6%. Oh, you used 6%. That's right.
6% tax in.
So this is a sample. We can move it around any way we want and make it work. So, you know, maybe we don't get rid of all the kappa. Maybe we get rid of more money. Who knows?
But, well, that's what I was going to suggest, is the 50% expenditure increase between the two, not necessarily split 50-50, but the 50% expenditure increase, and then having some sort of kappa
decrease,
but not necessarily all the way to the min, so that you land somewhere in 6.x%.
Basically, find revenue and savings to get to a 6% tax increase maximum.
Yeah, I wouldn't say 6.1, 6.2 probably makes more sense, just based on seeing 5.94 as the minimum kappa.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good starting point.
I'll say 6.2 just because it's a...
So the good starting point is no more than a 6.2 tax.
We're at 10 now.
Yeah. Or somewhere below 7 or 6.5.
Because we could do this also in stages, because we have 2 weeks to figure this out. So we could start with, let's go pick the homework. What is it going to look like if you get to 7? What goes?
Yeah.
And then you can meet again and say, okay, we did this. Now let's see what's keeping you from pushing it further. What does it look like if you go to 6% or 5? And then at a certain point, we have to just fish or cut bait and say, this is what we're presenting to the public for the first blush. We have 2 weeks to play with this.
Based on what I'm seeing here, I think the motion would be to get...
Withdraw my motion.
Well, there you go. I'm not going to try yet. To get below 7% between a combination of expenditure decreases and kappa decrease.
So may I ask a question?
Sure.
Do
I need to have a second on it? And then we.
I didn't make a motion.
Oh, you didn't make a motion. Yet. Okay, then. Sir.
I'm wondering if you even need to make a motion or just ask, you know, us to work to get to that point for your meeting next week.
I don't think you need a motion. I agree with you. I think that the motion was for the sake of discussion.
Sure.
And then we had the discussion. Rodney withdrew the motion.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And we decided that let's work at it incrementally then. So let's see what you guys can do to get this, like, a 7% tax increase.
Is there a dollar amount? It's on page two.
But that, yeah,
that's 7%.
They're not there.
It would be at 7.
So 7 would be.
Then you're going to come up with three different scenarios. What is it? That's going to be like.
It's approximately 1.5%
Board of Ed budget.
It's 1.5%.
1.75, roughly.
It reduces the Board of Ed budget by 1.75.
17.6.
What's the number value on the Board of Ed increase?
Depends on the split, right? Like
6.1.
Let's say it's 60-40.
Well, no, actually, if you just do a percentage, it's proportional.
Yeah, okay.
It's proportional anyway.
5% of the proposed Board of Ed budget would be 308,000.
Did you have that chart in it of the percentage decreases for Board of Ed? So you could go by that.
Yeah, if I have a percentage or a dollar.
It's a 3.
Yeah, 308. You said it was 1.75%. 1.75% decrease
of your budget.
That's already there. Oh, right. No.
If you just look at the numbers, it's about 1.75% reduction for Board of Ed and 1.75% for Board of Selectmen. How you come up with it, up to you guys.
Whether it's spending or saving.
And that could be in a combination of give backs and reductions.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the give backs for next week. We already gave 75 back. I'm not going to have a new give back number a week.
I think that 75 is already accounted for in there, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's already 30. Mm-hmm. So
the only give backs would be
additional.
A little bit more. Right.
Yeah. We're the same way. We've got another.
I won't have the rest of the give back number for a while.
So this is also part of we wanted to get an extra referendum in and know this information going into the first one because it's sooner in this fiscal year.
Yeah, it's into May.
So the charge for the BOE is reduce our budget by 1.75%.
Yep. And the same thing for Board of Selectmen. And then we'll talk about it at our next public hearing or after that.
I make motion. Oh, wait, it's not.
Yeah, where the heck are we on here? So we did discuss all of the stuff on here. We have two things left on here, communication and the budget calendar. So communication, I think we've beaten that to death unless anybody has any comments on that because we're going to have the other public hearing and then we do have the coffee and conversation coming up in May after the first referendum.
That's on the calendar right now?
Yes.
Yes.
I made note of the presentation questions and changes, so I'll make sure
that. We can have those for the next.
Yeah. Yeah.
The surrounding town.
Yeah. Relabel
that'll be the day after Memorial there.
Lyman,
yes,
the day to Grant Nash.
The 2.5 million on the surplus. There's a
part.
And I'm going to do name tags for all of us.
The order for all the boards.
Okay. And then we got a bunch of conversations. Anything more for the communication?
Whitney in place.
No.
Then let's go on budget calendar. Any changes at this point? I don't
think that's what we're all just discussing. So
I think we're all lined up for meetings through pretty much the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully May 26th coffee and conversation is to be about the budget being passed.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So then I guess I could entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
David and Ben.
Third.
Rodney's in favor.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Yes.
Opposed, abstention, motion passes by all voting members present, so I officially abstain. So we are good to get out of here.